Hello and welcome to episode 274 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, he's not in the cornfield anymore. He's moseying up towards the door. You better lock it. It's Perry Burkham.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yes, he is. Also in town is the most beautiful boy in Boston, who now can officially say he's heard the Christmas jingle intro. It's Mr. Balix Bulafi.
So I was listening to Radio Free Nintendo on my walk yesterday, and I realized that I had heard Perry's Radio Free Nintendo theme before I had heard our own podcast's holiday theme.
Dude, well, I mean, you're still only like one full episode you've ever listened to, right?
Total at best.
Zach has listened to more episodes.
Probably, yes. I was going to say, we're also joined by a man who's being paid an undisclosed amount of money to say he is Perry's friend. Joining the show for the first time, our new friend, Zach.
Hello, it is
Zach. Yes,
not a lot
Zach
of money.
Cote. By the way, Cote is his last name.
It's
hard to write, because when you have to write the E, it's like Pokemon.
Yep.
Cote-mon?
It is like that, isn't
Cote-mon.
It? Cote-mon. How have we never said that?
It would be apt, right? A big Pokemon fan joining
us. Yeah, Cote-mon. Have you ever said that before, Zach?
Cote-mon? It's never crossed my mind.
Are you serious?
Wow. My last name and the game have never been in the same place at the same time.
Wow.
That's I'm great. Glad I could put those together for you guys.
Thank you, Casey. All right. So, yeah, Zach's here. And he's going to talk with us all things Nintendo, which is what we do on this show.
Sometimes.
Zach's a lifelong Nintendo fan.
when we're not talking about food and non-Tendo games.
Right, we do talk about food a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, we like our fast food. And if you live in Charleston, your slow food.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I was up in New York, and the service just so much better, dude. Like, I went to a diner. And I would still be waiting in line at Burger King by the time we'd like had a full meal, like paid and got out of there.
Mm. Yep. Ugh.
But anyway.
Yep. Anyway, so I figured out, did I talked about this last week about my buffalo wings and rings? I figured out about the blue cheese. I didn't talk about this yet, have I?
You better refresh our memory just either way.
Yeah.
So, Buffalo Wings and Rings, my joint. Zach and I have eaten there many times.
I was just going to say, Zach can now attest for how good it is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, their blue cheese dressing is it's why I go there. It's like a dip. It's not like normal blue cheese.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was eating there with my friend Phil, and Phil asked, he just thought, why not ask what's in this, you know, like what makes it so good? And they said they put in red wine. Red wine. Isn't that crazy?
Mm. And so you're an alcoholic, like, Jerry.
I was like, now I figured out why I like this so much. I'm getting drunk when I'm eating it. And
no wonder why I'm there three times a day.
I'm a raging blue cheese holic. No, but it's funny. We taste it, and it's absolutely right. That is, I can taste it in there, and it's delicious.
They just literally mix it with blue cheese.
No, it's
they're not just pouring a bottle in it.
It's
not just like big heavy duty blue cheese dressing,
which is a
bottle of red
wine.
No, it's they make everything from scratch. That's one of the things they said. They mix that and with other stuff too. I don't know, but anyway.
Well, now you just gotta find out the other stuff.
I just gotta figure out the other stuff. Yeah.
What you do is each time ask for a different ingredient, so they're not spoiling it. You know, all at once. They're like, "Oh, we're fine to give this one ingredient out."
Mm-hmm. Then I'll make it all together.
And then you just open a competitor, and boom.
I tell you what, though. You can for a buck you can get like a big thing of it, and so it's $2. You get like a big thing, and so I take that home. Make wings at home. It's so good. Delicious. Anyway, mm-mm. I love my wings, Casey. So you got to tell us about your New York travels.
Ooh, it was simultaneously a short and long weekend. We went for Thursday. We got there Thursday morning and left early Monday morning. So really Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we packed in as much food as possible. Second we landed, we got that delicious egg sandwich, which was just incredible. I miss New York delis, dude. They just don't do it right down here.
Do you go to Katz or do you do a different one?
Nope. No, this is very much a random Long Island deli, which is just all over the place. I went to the one in my hometown, but they're just one-offs, you know what I mean? It's not like the New York City deli. But we got an egg sandwich. Then we went and we went out to like the rehearsal dinner at like a... It's called like Miller's Ale House. I would say it's akin to like an Applebee's, but more focused on the beers. Like, of course, they have like a fine menu, you know, but like you go there to have some beers and eat kind of thing. Mm. And like that was fine. But went and got there's this place also, European Republic, which is just delicious wraps with like they have all sorts of different sauces like jalapeno cheddar. They had like a Jamaican curry, like just all random, like completely random different dipping sauces. So you get like a wrap and French fries and you get one of the, like, well, you can get a couple different dipping sauces. So super good. That's one, like we were always like, oh, I miss it so much. So it tastes just as good, but a little more expensive. The COVID's risen the prices, but I'd still go.
That you posted that sandwich. Oh
with the melty really cheese.
And did it have some ketchup on there? Is that right?
It sure did. I used to be anti-ketchup. My brother would get it on the eggs, and I was like, you don't need it. Then I started putting a little on there, and you can't put a ton. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think you can hit that threshold where there's way too much ketchup pretty darn easy. But if you hit just the right amount, it definitely, with some scrambled eggs, perfect.
One of my piano students puts ketchup on everything. Everything. It's disgusting.
No good.
On his steaks, I bet. Ugh. Well done.
I like ketchup on my chicken.
It is less bad to put ketchup on everything than the person who puts mayo on literally everything.
I don't know.
Oh, that's me.
We're not friends anymore.
That's okay. I understand.
Now, Zach just ran a marathon, like an actual, like not
a cool
marathon,
marathon.
Yeah. Like a whole.
He ran 26.2 miles
today.
So he can put mayo on whatever he wants.
Oh, I was going to say, like, how are you alive?
No, it's too dang cold. I tried to run yesterday and I was just horribly unprepared.
Oh,
I had to
dude,
turn around.
It's so cold out.
It's just that wind. That Nebraska wind.
Oh, dude, yeah. That was what was nice to be in New York too. Dipping into the low 30s, I was like, ooh, hoo, hoo. It was amazing. And then I landed back in Charleston. It was 70 degrees. It's like, oh.
In the Bahamas.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It felt like it, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I guess real food, quick on the food. What else did I get? I went to my favorite Mexican place and got a chili cheese burrito, which was just, it was probably my favorite thing. And then we finished off with, we went and got like a bunch of Italian and pizza with some like penne alla vodka. Oh, just delicious. We pretty much hit every single spot we wanted to hit as far as the food goes. And I would say pretty limited a number of meals in comparison, you know. But yeah, it was super fun. And it was just a long weekend, and I'm very happy to be home. And then I had planned to go, so I came back on Monday, took off, and I was like, oh, I'll go back to work on Tuesday. And then I was like, I'm going to need Tuesday off. And and I've been doing a whole lot of nothing today. And it's been glorious.
That's awesome.
I bet you've been playing Final Fantasy.
I have. Today is actually technically the launch date of Endwalker. It went live. Like, if you'd pre-ordered, you could start playing on Friday. But since the trip, I have to finish the last little bit before I can start the new stuff. So I think I should be done with that probably tomorrow, if not Thursday. And then I could crack into all that new good stuff. But yeah, I got to play some Shin Megami Tensei over the vacation travels, too. But not a ton.
What did you?
I just started. Casey was talking about video games, so I just started snapping.
I was could we get the quick bite in there? And then I was like, no. And Perry didn't snap along, so he must probably just edit that out.
I thought like I didn't know if Zach was like snapping like oh baby like Jim McGovern like keep talking. Yeah.
Yeah, Jazz snaps.
Yeah, Jazz snaps. So okay, so real quick, so just so Zach isn't like completely out of it
in the dark here, yeah.
While we're recording, we snap a bunch so that when we're editing, we can see where to slice in stuff.
Okay.
So like,
so usually we'll talk about a game and then slice in some music. So since he probably wasn't listening, or he was just being a wise guy.
No, I was being a wise guy.
Okay, I figured, yeah. Okay.
A wise Alec, as they say.
Ah, yes, there it is. But yes, good foods, good trip, glad to be home. And yes.
Nice, 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 nice. I only have like one quick thing for this. So me and my significant other, we both got our Moderna boosters in the last week. She got hers yesterday. So today I've been in sort of caretaker mode, just because we both got hit pretty bad by both the booster and the second dose. So for dinner tonight, I was being a sweetie boy and I got Thai for us.
Ooh, what'd you get? Individual orders.
Yeah. So for her, because she's vegan, got a tofu pad Thai, no egg. And with pad Thai, and in fact, Thai food in general, it's nice because you can make almost anything vegan.
Because tofu is so good.
It is really good.
I love it.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were being sarcastic or not. I'm like, no, I really like tofu.
No, here you go, Alex. Tofu is so good.
There you go.
Because we used to get a chicken pad Thai, but they would put tofu in it also. So it was like both. And I was just like, man, the tofu is amazing. And then I just would get it on its own, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's really good, especially if you get it crispy. Really nice. But the one I did was, so pad Thai, right? Really sweet noodles. They put in eggs, peanuts, whatever. And then I do crispy fried chicken on top instead of like the regular chicken. And ooh, that's so good when you get the crispy chicken going.
Crispy fried chicken.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
And then have you ever had Thai iced tea before?
Thai tea? No, I haven't.
Thai tea is the best. It's like an orange iced tea beverage you can get. And it's basically tea with a ton of condensed milk and sugar in it, so it ends up tasting like the sweetest thing you've ever drank. And
so it's Alex in drink form.
Yeah, because I am a sweetie boy.
You alluded to it earlier, so
I know I said it.
You alluded to it by saying exactly what you meant.
Yeah, so that was my little quick bite in a literal sense.
Nice. So, stop. Zach, have you eaten anything? Have you eaten anything interesting in the past week?
Anything interesting?
Yeah, mayo interesting. With a side of mayo.
Mayo sandwich. No.
It looks like a fluffernutter without the peanut butter.
My wife and my in-laws, near the holidays, they have what they call cookie day. So they... Yeah, you know, my sister-in-law, mother-in-law, and my wife, they all get together and they make a bunch of treats. And they make cookies. They make homemade salted nut rolls. They do like frosted covered pretzels and they make fudge. And, you know, since we've been married,
it sounds delicious.
I have to bar myself off from eating other things because I'm like, okay, we have all the end of the month meals where I'm going to eat whatever. And then I have to be on my guard against all these delicious treats that are sitting on my table. So it's just me versus food all month. And I'm not coming on a good foot after Thanksgiving.
Who is?
I'm already weighed down. I gotta stay on my toes because everybody's trying to get me to eat, which it's hard for me to say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? It's the holidays. It's the perfect excuse to say,
exactly,
throw caution into the wind, you know?
Right. And my wife's pregnant, so when I go to buy something, I'm like, oh, she'd probably want this at some point.
Yeah, and if you put on some weight, you just say you're doing it as a thing of solidarity, you know?
Exactly.
Baby, if you're gaining weight, so am I. She'll love you.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe.
Not physically. But yeah. cookies.
Jeez,
cookies,
Jerry.
I love those covered you know, like with the, what is it, the, what's the bark? What's that called?
The root beer?
Almond bark.
Are you talking about,
is that what it's called?
Yeah. Or like the peppermint bark.
Why is
has
it called
little, like,
almond bark?
Cane?
Bark?
Why? Does like anyone from know a why tree? It's called almond bark?
That's what I was thinking.
No, yeah, it's it's those big, huge slabs of melty, like white chocolate type stuff. But it's called almond bark, and I'm assuming because it's made with almonds.
Oh, this isn't what I thought it was, because I thought you were talking about like peppermint bark, like the super hard. Well,
peppermint bark is the same thing, but with like peppermint in it.
Man, right, peppermint bark like couldn't sound chocolate any less appealing at all to me.
Oh, it's so good.
Dude, peppermint bark.
Oh. Peppermint bark's amazing.
I'm not a peppermint guy.
No,
and
then, same.
And bark doesn't make it sound any more appealing.
What are you talking about? It's like tree bark. There's nothing more appetizing than tree bark.
I'm just thinking like a
bark
slab of peppermint like that broke off something, you know? No thanks.
Yeah, that is. No, you're right. It is not very appetizing. And it's like a dog. And it's like something that comes from a dog's mouth.
It's like, slobber.
It's not appetizing at all.
Adding it comes from a dog's mouth to the potential episode titles.
Thank you. Very good. No. All right. Well, why don't we talk about what we got on the docket today? We have a whole host of things.
Yes, we do.
Alex is here, so we have at least a dozen games.
Yep. Most of them not on Nintendo, but some of them on, yes.
No, two of them are Nintendo. One is very much not Nintendo.
All right. And I see one dubbed as a very quick bite. We'll be the judge of that. But yes, we got games. We've got, we actually got I don't want to say a hearty news bit, but we definitely got some news, and more so than we've had in quite a while, as well as that includes some Nintendo N64 Online goodness. And then, of course, we've got a good old-fashioned poll time. And I thought this was a very good one. I got my vote in. And we'll be talking about that later. But yes, obviously we got a fourth person with us here, so we got some games. I guess just to kick it off, like I sort of mentioned before, that I've been playing SMT and Final Fantasy, but really didn't get to play a ton of either because we left Thursday morning for the trip, and then Wednesday was like editing and getting packing up and everything. So not a lot new on my front, but I believe Barry over there has been playing some Mario games.
I have been, actually. I'll do a quick bite real quick.
Set of.
That's right. Mario Party Superstars. All right, so Mario Party Superstars. We talked about it. And honestly, I've been playing it every week since it came out. It's one of those things where I've kind of, for some reason, it's gotten out of my Talk Nintendo zone of like things. Like, I don't know, it's in a different... I don't know, but I've been playing it a lot. I love this game to bits and pieces. It's been something that I thought was really interesting is like it's a really good single Joy-Con game. Because you can play it with a pro controller. I know, exactly. I know. I think the Super Mario Party and Mario Party Superstars, both of those games, really great. Honestly, it's a great collection of games on the Switch, especially because this reason. One thing when I have people come over, unless you have like four pro controllers, you know, games can be really annoying to play because it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Especially when like this stupid, dude, the right Joy-Cons, dude, that they are bad. Like they are, I have trouble with my brand new OLED Joy-Con. It disconnects. Like, there is something they still haven't fixed in there. It's ridiculous. I can't believe it. So I actually have this is obnoxious. But I have two switches in a dock in two docks, just so I can have two Joy-Cons charged, two other Joy-Cons charged. I grab the so I have two Pro controllers and then two left Joy-Cons. So that's what we use, because the right ones don't work. And I don't know if everyone saw on the Discord when I posted, but one of my Pro controllers, I left it on my lamp and it melted to the lamp. Zach, have I showed you that?
You got one of a kind Joy-Con lamp.
You got to play taps.
Yep, exactly. So it's, and there's like actual like shattered like glass like melted into it. That's just impossible to get. So I'm just waiting for the day when Dixie slices her hand open. It'll be great. But
no bueno.
The Mario Party games are really good. And Superstars is just really like the best since Mario Party 4. I really think they did such a great idea going back to these games. Zach, have you played it?
No, it's on my list.
Okay, you gotta.
I mean,
come
of
over
course,
and play
I it. Want it because, I mean, I enjoyed Super Mario Party, and that's not even the strongest Mario Party game. So, something that could definitely one up that is interesting.
So I'd love to hear like what's your history with Mario Party like?
I'm a huge Mario Party 6 guy. And it's because of the mic. Mm. I really, as a third grader, having the mic was just, it was beyond anything I could imagine.
Game changer.
It was like, what is this? And I never played the Nintendo 64 ones because I was a bit too young for those. So I haven't, I hear like 1 through 3 are super good. Although I really enjoyed the Mario Party for the Game Boy Advance. I can't remember what that one, I think it was Mario Party Advance. And that was just a single player Mario Party game. Like it was basically an RPG because you'd get your dice, and when you ran out of dice or whatever, or mushrooms to push you down the board, then your game was over. But you could pick from one of four characters, and then you had to go around the board, and then they're like, oh, I need a wrench to fix my car so I can drive back to space, you know, whatever fetch quest they had. And then there was mini games in between.
This?
Mario Party Advance.
Yeah, Advance, yes. So weird.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was, and I was like, this is, you can't even play with other people. But needless to say, I have a complicated past with Mario Party.
I honestly think this might be like the best game ever because it takes all of the good stuff from
Mario
the old
Party
games.
Game, right.
And yeah, that's what I mean. And slaps them all together. Like I said, I just really, really hope that they, whether it's, you know, sort of the free DLC they've been doing where we maybe get a few new maps or something. Or like I said, I would happily pay if they were going to give us 2 to 3 new maps, you know, $20, 3 new maps or something. Like I would be over the moon for that. And I just laugh because I think, Jerry, you're like the point in case, right? If you were playing Super Mario Party, you played that game, you liked it, and then it probably fell off pretty quickly, right? But now you have online and you're playing it every single week multiple times. It's like, gosh, I wish Nintendo would just like embrace this sooner, you know?
You know, and I do gotta say, that is a huge point. And it's not even that, the funny thing is that it's not that we play it online all the time. It's that we did initially, and I still do, but not as much, but that creates the spark to play it more. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just that initial, it's excitement to play it online as well. So yeah.
And it's just
great.
When you want to hang out with friends, right? Like, oh, what game are we going to play? Oh, we can play Mario Party. Awesome. It's a lighthearted thing that you don't really need to pay too much attention to. If you want to focus more on just hanging out and, you know, shooting the breeze. Or if they, you know, at the same token, it still can get super tense and hardcore, right? If you're in that mindset where you got to get the win. So I don't know. I just, like I said, I just always laugh like Nintendo's like online stance.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. But I'm glad it's finally come around to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say just to everyone, like, it would be kind of, because we're kind of hyped for it. Obviously, we were. And it came out. We talked about it on the podcast. I feel bad that I've neglected to mention that, like, I'm playing it every week, and it's incredibly awesome, and it's everything I've wanted, and I'm so happy with it, and it's definitely one of my top 5, like, of the year. Like, it's just a been a great year with Dread and WarioWare and stuff. It's mm-hmm. been really good for that. But my main game that I've been playing is none other than Super Mario Odyssey.
Interesting.
How relevant.
Yeah, he saw the poll and he knew what he had to play.
I know, that was so funny as I saw, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it was just like, you know what? It's time to play Mario Odyssey again. I haven't played it since it came out. I've played through all the other, you know, I played through, because of the 3D collection, mm-hmm. played a little Super Mario 64, played through Sunshine, played through Galaxy, played through Super Mario 3D World, Super Mario 3D Land. It was just like, you know what? It's funny that I've played all the other ones and to go back with the new found perspective on the franchise. And I remember I have very great nostalgia for the day I picked up Odyssey. Man, what a game, you know, like that game is, it's so impressive. And I started obviously from the beginning, going through, and it's funny. I remember when we talked about it, I brought up the term like culture shock, because it was so weird. Like, there's so many things in that game that is so different from what you expect from Mario. Like Super Mario 3D World is essentially the same thing contextually as Super Mario 3. I mean, it's just kind of brought into the 3D realm, and it's the best game ever. And then you go to Super Mario Odyssey, which is like a return to Super Mario Sunshine's open world, like almost with that in mind. Like, it's like inherently, let's take out the level design, the start to the finish, and put in and do more of the open world thing. But very creatively. While it is an open world, people are constantly doing these little micro challenges and puzzles and figuring out to get these moons, and then also peppering in like main missions and stuff, but all for the mm-hmm. sake of moons. It's really weird. The game is really weird. I thought it would maybe feel more familiar coming back to it, but it's way weirder than I remember, like the whole game in general. Even from the very get-go, like, and there's so many ideas floating around. Like, I think, like, you get the Bowser and the wedding. It's like, that's weird. Like, the whole thing is, like, and they're going around to different kingdoms. Bowser's always ahead of you, stealing the relic from the kingdom for his wedding, you know, with Peach. It's weird. And then you have the weird wedding planners, the Broodles, the rabbits.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I think are great. I love the characters. They have that weird, like, bah, 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 that weird, like, theme song that plays on their ship that goes around and you find them. There's just so, and then on top of that, you have it's just the most eclectic game in the world. You have that power up, the Cappy thing that just turns everything into a power up. And it's interesting. And so, one thing that I just wanted to say is it's weird. Secondly, I don't think I like the player package as much as like 3D World. I'm directly comparing those two, and maybe Sunshine as well, because Sunshine, I think, very, and it's funny because it was very obvious and designed. It's 3D, so they added in that little the flood so that you could easily
hover. Yep.
Hover. You know, it's mm-hmm. a great power up, and I think it feels great, and I loved that. And it makes sense contextually, even though it's super weird. In this game, obviously, you don't have that. You have there's no Tanuki suit. There's nothing like that. It's just you have this boomerang that you can throw out. And then you can jump on that. And it's odd. It's really odd. It's, you know, 3D
But you get the power-ups via taking over the other enemies, you know? So
absolutely. No, absolutely. And it's designed that way. Like, it is, like, the levels are designed to not be as jumpy. Like, and that, they're still totally jumpy. But, like, not in the same way as like a Super Mario, like a Super Mario Land or a 3D Land or world level. They're just, because they're not made for those, for that Tanuki or the cat power ups. You know, they're made. All these levels are kind of designed on this one mechanic on each one. Brilliantly designed and like almost too much. Like there's almost too much in the game that is going on. You know what I mean? Like Odyssey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can get crazier than Odyssey. Like it really is like you get to the city. And you throw your hat onto the sewer grate, and you become the sewer. Just and the one thing you can do is just scoot over to the left. You know, like it's funny. I mean, that was really funny. But you get the weird New Donk City. It's called New Donk City, and there's realistic looking people walking around that are speaking Japanese. It's just so bizarre. But I don't, not in a necessarily bad way. But it is a little jarring just in general. There is that fun moment where you kind of crash land your ship on this hidden jungly planet with these caterpillars. And it was just a blast. And it really reminds me of a little more contained level, but it's everything is in there. And all the levels are contained in a way. And I really like it. I'm really enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm really, really enjoying the game, playing it through. I'm just really directly comparing it to 3D World, which I played earlier this year. Which I know Zach really liked and played through with his wife. They beat the final level co-op. Didn't you, Zach?
Yes, that's insane. I've been blessed enough to marry a hardcore gamer. So anytime there's a multiplayer game, we're like, okay, we have to do this. Like we have to do the thing. Like playing Shovel Knight with her was probably one of the most fun experiences I've ever had. And I haven't played
that's amazing.
Any of the extra ones because they're not multiplayer. And it's not that I don't want to play through it, but I'm like, oh, where's my teammate? You know, like we had like all the strats down. We would jump on top of each other to get to places and let the other one die. We would take on bosses, you know, 2v1. And Mario 3D World. We're not replaying through it, but we don't have all the stamps and you need to beat all the levels with all of the different characters.
See, it's,
to get the stamps. So we're going back through it and, you know, we were either Mario, Peach or Rosalina because they got the best powers.
Is awesome.
Yeah. And now I'm Luigi and she's Toad and that's what we get. You know, we're the leftovers at this point.
Yeah.
Like you want to jump high or run really fast. Those are your options.
Yep. Yeah. So, and it's just, Zach, did you play Odyssey?
You know, I've not gone all the way through it because of that weirdness. It's not that I don't enjoy it, but I've never gotten my teeth really sunk into it. And I don't know if that's because of a lack of nostalgia or something. Like before 3D All-Stars came out, I had never played through Mario Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Samantha, my wife, she was like, oh, this game's amazing. You need to play it. I was like, okay. And I did. And it was amazing. But that satisfied my craving for 3D Mario. So then I didn't go back to Odyssey. And I keep revisiting Sunshine just because that reminds me of, you know, like having a CRT and like sitting in front of the TV, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But that is a... It's a flawed masterpiece, that game, as I've gotten older. I just thought it was bad because I was young. You know, I was like, oh, I just can't do it. Now I'm an adult. I'm like, no, that's bad. That's actually not good.
Yes. We have a very, we went, when that came out, we did an episode on each of those games. And yeah, that was our takeaway as well. And I still love the game to bits and pieces.
Right.
But I think, And the setting and, oh, there's so many good things about that. And again, with Odyssey as well. It's so awesome. I do hope that they ground it a little bit. And I know that sounds crazy, but and I would be fine with Odyssey too. We'll talk more about that in poll time. But really fun going through this Odyssey. I'll have beaten it before next week.
Yeah, Odyssey, it's like I said, I love the movement and I love the game as a whole, but I sort of battle back and forth between the... I really like how open it is and how there's just literally little mini things to do all the time. But then I think, like, then I usually swing back to, yeah, but I like the, like I like that you don't have to go into a level, get the star, bounce back out, go back in. But I sort of like that when you do that, they change it around. So, you know what I mean? Where it's not just the same, you know, area. It's like, oh, now, yeah, sure, there's no real reason all of these things have changed aside from that. Now I'm going for this star, you know. But I like that because now I'm seeing these areas and it sort of breaks your expectation of what would, you know, be coming around the corner if, you know, if it never changes, you just sort of know.
That's a really good point. And I do want to say, yeah, it's like they have these big levels, like they're just huge levels instead of that. Of that feeling, I think
like it felt like a diorama, right? And then, like each time you went in, it was a little different, and you could like, oh, like jump around and see what changed.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do want to say that New Donk City, like going around and when you can jump on a scooter and stuff, like and jumping on taxis and everything and hopping around, you kind of feel like Spider-Man. It's a really fun part of the game, and it's a crazy cool game. But I think that just to round it off, the player controls are surprisingly complex and not 100%, which is what I don't like. Like I don't like, cause a lot, I got to use that dive a lot. Cause that's your kind of your second jump. And to use that, you have to crouch and then hit Y in a direction. And I would many times, and if you don't do that, if you hit like Y before you hit ZR, then he throws his hat. And then you die because I was trying to, you know, and it happens a lot. And it's like, man, that does not, and, you know, I'm trying to fix it, but I've never had that problem before in a Mario game where I can't do the one of the controls that I use all the time. So anyway,
I'm hearing you talk about this, and I know that you are a net coming out on the game very positive, I know you established that very clearly for the record, but it is funny how the stuff you're talking about is like, this is cool, but I'm not so sure it completely gelled with me, specifically how the art style's completely changing and what you're doing's changing and how it doesn't always feel like a Mario game or as we know Mario and sort of the more parkour focus. But for me, those were all my favorite things.
I don't think I said any of those things, just so you know.
No. You were okay. I was sort of abridging it, but I think you were saying, and tell me if this is correct, that how weird the game feels, you kind of wish it was a little more grounded. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yes.
And I guess I was going one step ahead, because when you say weird, to me, I think of the fact that the art style is changing every time, what you're doing is changing every time, and the power up slash, or at least the way these Mario games have been, even for Galaxy 64 Sunshine, it feels very different tonally.
I mean, those
from
still
even
have
Sunshine.
Levels in them, you know, like there's still levels. Like this one doesn't have any levels, it just has open worlds, which is totally fine, but it changes it completely drastically.
So that's what you were saying. But the things that you were sort of not critical of, but were maybe your less favorite compared to 3D World, like Odyssey might be my favorite Mario game. Like it might be the last video game that I completely 100% obliterated into the ground. Because like the parkour stuff, to me, it makes me feel like I'm really good at video games once I get that stuff down.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I actually like the alien sort of weirdness. My favorite moment in that game, which it's weird that it's my favorite moment in the game because the level itself isn't really anything special and it's very small, but the Ruined Kingdom, where you drop down and it's like the Gothic Dark Souls world and you fight the dragon.
Oh, yep. Yes.
Yeah, that was so cool.
So cool.
And it's interesting how if you think about it, it's like it's actually kind of a simplistic boss fight and there's not much to that area. But in relation to what you were doing before and what you were doing after, it's such a strange moment. And when video games make me feel that way, like anything can happen. Or just that very like slightly uncomfortable but mostly cool weirdness, that's some of my favorite stuff.
I agree. I I love it too. No, and again, it is one of the best Mario like 3D games, I think, absolutely. And I'm glad they did something crazy cool like this, and I'm hoping they keep expanding. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say they shouldn't be so creative. Back in my day, I really don't mean that. I'm more talking about, like, I love the different art styles of the game. That was the first thing from the first go around before the game came out where I was like, that's really weird because it was so different from when I was experienced. That's not the thing. It's kind of like more like the game design of like how you interact, how you progress is so different. And like sometimes they put emphasis on one moon or it's a multi-moon, and sometimes sometimes when you do something, it gives a big celebration and you restart the beginning of the level. Sometimes it just keeps on going. He just goes, hooray. You know, it's just very like exactly what you said. You just don't know what to expect. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. I'm not
you
saying
hate in fact, Mario Odyssey.
I love Mario Odyssey. No, it is fantastic. And especially playing through the original, they've really learned a lot from the 3D world and land games with the controls, applying those to a Sunshine Galaxy type game. It is absolutely a masterpiece. And I wouldn't call it a flawed masterpiece at all. I think it is a masterpiece, easily a 10 out of 10 game. Wonderful.
Mm. Boom.
I'll go into my stuff now. I'm going to start with my quick bite, my very quick bite, because it's only going to take a couple seconds.
Should I get the timer?
Well, okay. No. How much time you want to give me? 2 minutes?
You just told me seconds and now it's minutes. So I'm
all right.
A little
you
confused.
Do 60 seconds? I can do 60 seconds on this one.
All right. I'm going to start you off in three.
Wait,
two.
Wait. I have to say what the game is. Kentucky Route Zero. Very quick bite. All right, so I beat Kentucky Route Zero. It's a 5-episode episodic game. Very weird, dreamy, Twin Peaks almost, Americana, magical realism. I talked about all this on last week's episode. I got through episode 4 and 5. One of those games where I ultimately liked it, but it really dragged in parts. Like a lot of scenes where there was just words and words and reading and words that didn't like sort of tie to the main mystery or my understanding of these characters very much. So I got kind of bored at points, and I wonder if that's kind of a mechanism of the fact that it was released over 8 years. Anyways, I still recommend it. Listen to last week's episode.
48 seconds. Nice job.
He did it.
Yeah.
Now let me expand upon Kentucky Route.
Yeah, well, Perry's like, let me ask you a few questions.
I still earn the 48 seconds. We can still talk about it, but I earned the 48. Nope.
Casey, what's the time?
On to the next one.
yeah.
Nope, 65 seconds.
No!
Yep.
You're off the podcast.
Yep. Zach,
no.
You're in.
Yep. This All was right, a trial dude. Run.
It's about
Zalix.
Zalix. Anyway, what else you got, Alex?
All right, the next one I'm talking about is Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom.
This is a game I've wanted
this
to play for a while.
This one's super beautiful, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. So neither of you or none of you have played this one.
So let me say something real quick. PAX East 20.
I played a demo.
17 or 18. I remember Casey and I played this. I took footage, I think, while he played. And I remember the girl that was showing us the game could not be more tired and more sick of this game.
Oh yeah.
Not that she didn't love the game, it was like but
she
it was like the
it.
It was like the second or last day or something like that, and she was not interested in telling us anything, like not excited about anything. It was really fun. Anyway. funny yeah, little.
I played that same demo you guys did. And I remember it was facing.
The frog?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And a piggy. And
there were two demos, maybe, if I remember right. And I even remember where the booth was in relation to
I could picture it as well.
Yeah, me too.
they did a good job.
But that was one of those where I played the demo. I was like, this is pretty fun, but I'll probably forget about it. Then the game ultimately came out and people were like, this game's amazing. And then I bought it and then I didn't get around to it. And then a couple years later, been on my indie kick, finally got around to it in earnest. And I'd say I'm probably maybe 60-70% of the way through. If you don't know what this is, as I learned recently, an official sequel to the Wonder Boy platformer franchise, which I think Adventure Island is a spinoff of, if I remember right. This wasn't made by the original Wonder Boy people, though. I think it started as another game, and then whoever owns the rights or something got involved, and then it was sort of turned into an official Wonder Boy game. What that means in practice is that it's a sort of side-scrolling platformer where you're a boy and you got a your uncle casts a spell on the kingdom and is causing all sorts of havoc, and you have to defeat him and turn him back into normal.
Sounds just like Zach's real life.
Yeah, I'm like 50% through, I think.
And in practice, what that means is you're going through these side-scrolling levels, and you got a sword, you got some magic, and the sort of gimmick of the game or franchise or whatever is that you turn into various monsters based on animals, at least in these cases, and it gives you the ability to do different powers. So the first one you turn into is a pig, which allows you to sniff out secrets and you can use magic. There's the frog, which has a tongue, which allows you to grapple things and sort of eat enemies. The lion has a charging ability, and I think there's like two or three others. And you go through the game and you find five different orbs, and then presumably after that you go through whatever the last sequence is and beat the final boss, whatever. And it's really great because it's technically a Metroidvania, but it is so not a Metroidvania, which is very interesting about it.
What do you mean by that?
When you think of a Metroidvania, or at least when I think of a Metroidvania, you think of these closed spaces are like these corridors with maybe big open rooms. Sometimes there will be some open or slightly different stuff, but for the most part, it's kind of like you go through tubes in various sort of rooms around either a castle or an alien planet or whatever. But there's a very specific look to a Metroidvania game. Meanwhile, this one feels more like a traditional side-scrolling action platformer from the old days, but it's all connected together. So there's a lava world, there's a poison world, there's a forest world, and there's an underworld. No, I think it's mostly like regular Nintendo thematic stuff.
So what's that next game?
You're going to want to wait as long as possible before we get into this next game. No,
I'm actually intrigued to hear your thoughts.
No, I'm excited to talk about that one. But but it's all connected. So it feels like a regular platformer, but all the different worlds are connected together into one world. It just doesn't have that claustrophobic feeling that a Castlevania or Metroid game has.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's kind of that is the Wonder Boy way, isn't it?
And it's really
cool.
Have you
played
any
other Wonder Boy games?
No, but next time they go on sale, there's a new remake, and then there's old remakes. Mm.
I'd like to make a couple suggestions. Obviously, do the Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap, you know.
That one's good?
And then Agalos. You should get Agalos.
Agalos?
Yep, Aggelos. I played that a couple years ago, and it's a Wonder Boy. It's like an ode to that game. I mean, whatever you want to call it. But it's definitely a retro-looking game. Really fun. fun to dabble in. And I it's one of those games that just hooked me, and I played it to the end, and it was just fun. It's simple, fun. And then the Wonder Boy in the one that came out this year that I played through, the Asha.
Is that one good?
I enjoyed it. It's a remake, like a block for block remake of the original. I think there's probably a few. I think they added in some save points, like a few quality of life stuff, but mostly it's just a remake. And it's a really good looking remake, and it runs great on Switch too. And I played it again. It was one of those games, like, there are obvious flaws in the game, but there's something compelling about this game that is really fun, and I loved playing through it. Besides one ridiculously awful part, one of the worst things in gaming I've ever seen ever. And it's funny. It's funny because there's a sphinx that asks you questions. You know, there's a lot of things. That's a thing in video games. That happens in Odyssey too, where a sphinx, that must be some sort of a folklore thing. And he asks you like double negative questions that the answers are wrong. Like he says, have you not been to that place? It's bad translated. Like, it's a double negative. So it's kind of like saying, like, are you serious? You know, or are you not serious? And you, if you answer it correctly of how he says it, it's wrong, and you have to restart and do the whole thing. Dude, worst part ever. And it's like, I remember sitting there with Jill going,
so angry.
Like, oh, dude. Because I was so in. It's like, I can't stop playing. Like, I'm almost at the end of this game. I'm not going to stop now. But I basically have to go through and figure out what are the exact answers to these stupid double negative questions. And oh, there's so many of them. Anyway. Yeah, Asha and Wonder Lander's them.
I'm glad that they're all good, because like Dragon's Trap, yeah, I know, came out at the same time, and it was a different sort of thing. And I think most of them, if not all the games, have the same series creator type guy involved with them. At least Monster Boy and the Asha one do, for sure. But they're all made by different studios, which I think is so interesting, too.
Yeah, and there's another one too. Like just
the Wonder Boy remix or return.
Yeah, and
or
that's
whatever.
That's like Adventure Island or something.
I remember
that's like
they
a whole
all, yeah,
different kind of thing.
It was super confusing at the time. Like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, and it has a terrible art style too. That one, I don't know, but you should play that one and let us know. You should buy it and let us know.
I'm definitely gonna pick up Asha and Dragon's Trap next time they go on sale. Either way, I highly recommend this one based on the 60-70% of it I've played. It's pretty challenging too, but not a bad challenging. It's the Balix level of challenge. Yeah, and then my last one, which is very non-Nintendo, a game I have played 15 hours of, so I'm not prepared to talk about it.
When did you start?
Oh God!
2 days.
Like last Thursday, but I went home for the weekend. But I went home for the weekend, so it was like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I play video games. Yeah, I'm a gamer.
You're a tank, man.
Gamer
you
life.
Just tank right through those games.
I'm kind of a gamer.
You can stay.
I've been playing Death Stranding Director's Cut.
On your PS5?
Yes, sir.
The director's cut is like the PS5 re-release, right? With like nice 4K and all that stuff?
Yep. Kojima himself was like, yeah, director's cut doesn't really mean anything here because there wasn't any cut content. It was just stuff we kind of added after the fact. But it is an expanded, better-looking version of Death Stranding, which came out in like 2018, 2019. As I'm sure everyone knows, Death Stranding is Hideo Kojima's follow-up to Metal Gear Solid 5. After he split from Konami, this one was made for the most part with PlayStation Studios, but it was also kind of his own studio.
Kojima Productions.
Kojima Productions with the coolest mascot of any video game developer ever. The Ludens.
Super dope.
The skull astronaut.
I mean,
so cool.
Sort of everything about Kojima is pretty dope.
Yeah.
He's sort of a rock star, right?
Yep, I'm reading his book right now, which is just him reviewing music, movies, and books.
Him just reviewing life, you know?
Well, it's interesting because you it's called The Creative Gene, and it's him talking about pretty much creativity, and he's sort of discussing these specific works of art through how he looks at creativity. And when as I read that book, I'm like, oh, Kojima's not weird at all. He just really likes art and is using this thing, this talent he's really good at, to make a really specific brand of art. And he's not nearly as impenetrable as a person as I think he's been credited with. Anyways, Metal Gear Solid 5 is one of my favorites. I think it was my favorite game that year. It's just so, so good. I think, at least. Death Stranding, I played it on PS4 when it came out, got like 6 hours in, I bounced off, like the text had no text enlarging options, so it was kind of hard to read.
Oh,
the
subtitles,
and like the story's kind of confusing at first, and the whole point of the game is you're basically a logistics person in the apocalypse trying to set up the internet, and the way this works in practice is you're just hiking. For the whole game, you're just going on hikes and making deliveries
with that big old backpack.
Yep, and it's a very zen game. But I wasn't in the right frame of mind, and I mean, maybe it was like all sorts of things. So
I definitely see needing to like really want to play this game for it to like grab into you. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like, you know, if you're sort of on the fence about it, you know, I could see it sort of falling off to the wayward.
Yeah. But when the PS5 version was announced, I think at the Jeff Keighley Summer Games thing, I was like, you know what? I really want to play this. This might be when I finally give it a shot. It's a $10 upgrade if you own the PS4 version, and it adds 60 frames per second options, quality of life from various updates, which includes making the text bigger, and then a lot of additions that make the traversal sort of delivering packages way faster than it was before. I don't know exactly what those things were because I never got that far in the original game, but I will say that I'm loving it 15 hours in. It's very weird, obviously, if you've seen the trailers. Like, he casts like all these TV and movie stars in his game. Like, it stars Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, who is the most likable character in that whole show, and then Mads Mikkelsen, some actors who are well known but aren't coming to mind right now. Troy Baker's the villain, and then Guillermo del Toro, the director of Pan's Labyrinth of all things, and The Shape of Water, is like a very key character in this whole thing. And
he's amazing.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see Nightmare Alley whenever that comes out. And he's doing a Netflix thing soon that I'm looking forward to. But he's also one of the best characters in that whole game. But it's weird, as like Kojima stuff is, where it's in the future and there is this Death Stranding event that seems to have like mixed the worlds of the dead and the living. I think it hasn't fully explained what's happened yet. And there's now these ghosts and the world and the world mostly got destroyed from this extinction event. And now the world's completely disconnected because the internet's destroyed. And you, as a member of Bridges, which is, I think, the delivery service that he works for, have to reconnect the nation by establishing what I'm pretty sure is the internet. And you walk from place to place across the U.S. And for the most part, it's basically just hiking. And you watch a lot of cutscenes, which some people find boring. And I think I probably did when I played the PS4 version. But now that I think I've had some time pass and I've read this book, and I think I can kind of appreciate weirder games more than I could even a couple years ago, I'm now very much in the zen state of mind of playing this game. The story gets a lot more easier to understand as you go along, and it's weird, but like a fun kind of weird. And after the first few hours, you unlock a lot of traversal options. Like there are highways and there are trucks, and there are exosuits. So you're not just making this really slow hike. And then there's some shooting combat introduced later. So it really mixes it up a decent bit. And I'm not going to talk about it that much more because it's already a confusing game to explain. So it must be a confusing game to listen to. But I'm looking forward to playing more of it, and I'm having a really good time. And
so is it fun?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is.
I feel like it's not like a Mario Odyssey type of fun. But no. But it's more because I've seen I've watched video and it looks incredible. But yeah, it definitely seems like it's more of a slow burn. You know, like you're gonna get into like periods of sort of
what do you call
exploration.
That?
And it's like the Fortnite albums. Model, dude. Pretty much
concept albums.
It's like a concept game.
A concept game. Yeah, and it's not like pretentious like Kentucky. It's even less pretentious than Kentucky Route Zero. I'm pretty sure this is just Hideo Kojima casting his friends who are really good actors and people in
it's
film
like,
and
it's
whatever.
Like Louisiana Route Zero.
Yeah, Louisiana Route Zero. and then you also have a baby on that you're carrying the whole way. It's you have a baby in like
a little jar.
In a jar that you're just carrying around and but it's a living baby, and there are story explanations for what's going on, but it's you're building a bond with this baby.
The whole point of the game is to show what it's like to be a pregnant woman. That's the whole point of the game.
So it's a spiritual successor to Yoshi's Island. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
What's going on now?
It all comes around to the Nintendo podcast.
In practice, what the theme of the game actually is just like isolation and then connecting together. And the way it shows this is through the online stuff where you're building bridges to make traversal easier, and you're building charging stations for vehicles using resources you scavenge, and then other places and other instances in their own game can use those. And then the whole game's about sort of bringing connections between people. And it's actually got kind of a really nice message for as weird as the game can be and seems on the surface. I'll talk about it more probably next week or the week after, but it's really good.
Sweet.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Death Stranding, ladies and gents. Okay, Zach. So we've talked a few things. Let us know. What have you been up to?
Gaming scene. I've been in between jobs as of late, so I've had plenty of time to sit down and enjoy my games, which is very nice.
Yes.
Let's see here. I'm a fast-paced gamer. I like it when things are hard, but I like it when things are also doable. I don't like just...
Hard and doable. Can't ask for a better equation.
Right, because when it's hard, just because it's hard, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to be done playing now. But when it's not hard enough and you just kind of skate through it, well, it's like, well, what was the point? Where's the fulfillment?
Mm.
So what I'm getting at is that Nintendo Switch, you can play any Doom game. Any commercial Doom game that's been released is on the Nintendo Switch. And I love Doom. Every Doom, the old Dooms from the 90s, Doom 3, you know, and then Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal. And I have recently just played through Doom Eternal for like the fourth time.
On the Switch?
Yep. And it's the first time I played it was on the PS4, so it looked really amazing. And there is a slight quality cut when it comes to the Switch, just because of processing and, you know, computer chips and things I don't understand. But it still looks really great because Nintendo loves colors, and there's a whole ton of colors in Doom Eternal.
Yes, there is.
That it's weird because it's the first person shooter.
The first Doom, I remember when I played Doom, the 2016 one on Switch, I had to like stop because it was like after a little bit because it was like so much action.
It's
so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. With Doom Eternal, it's weird because it is a first person shooter, but it feels like a puzzle game sometimes because certain guns kill certain enemies in certain ways to certain degrees of effectiveness. And I like to play on the hardest difficulty just because it feels good to be good at
games.
Because
you're an elite pro gamer.
Yeah, because I'm the best. And I don't play on Ultra Nightmare, which is Nightmare.
So except you're not the best.
Yeah, if you die once, that's it. That's you just get one life.
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay. That's crazy.
Like, I would like to be able to die sometimes.
That, yeah, that's next
just
level.
Let me die.
But, yeah, it's something that gets my blood running. It so perfectly encapsulates the tone of Doom from the 90s, like Doom and Doom 2 Hell on Earth, because it has like grand buildings. It has all the enemies that you know and love or know and hate. It's got the roster of guns, and there's lots of collectibles. Like Doom Eternal is not a game that takes itself too seriously. There's a ton of toys like lying on the ground. Like there's toy versions of the demons you kill and a toy version of yourself. There's a UAC spokesperson, which the UAC is the Union Aerospace Corporation. They're like the bad guys. And they have a spokesperson, and they refer to demons as mortally challenged because it's offensive to call them demons. So everybody just calls them the challenged.
That's funny.
And there's a self-destruct sequence at one part of the game, and it's like, please save your work and exit the building calmly. You know, when like everything's on fire and there's demons everywhere. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Mortally challenged everywhere.
That's funny.
I just swept that up a few nights ago, I think.
I've never played. I think the only Doom game I've ever played is the 2016 one.
Okay.
I've never played the originals. I need to. Casey's talked about them.
Yeah, they definitely do a really good job of sort of translating the feeling of the old ones into the... I haven't played Eternal yet, but for 2016, because, yeah, they're super fast-paced, right? Like, you could really... If you know where you're going, you could, like, blow through levels really, really easily just because, like, you just move at such an insane rate. And then especially, you know, in the newer games, and I know Eternal, I think you get, like, a crazy dash and stuff, so, like, it makes the traversal even more... like ludicrous, you know, but yeah, I loved in 2016, just like that sort of, oh, I'm getting low on ammo. I got a melee guy, so he blows up with ammo. I can restock, and it's just like really, it all sort of feeds into each other to like, don't play scared, right? It's like, nah, we're going in blasting. We're going to melee people. We're going to be moving around and just destroying stuff. And like you said, it just feels fun because even if you're playing on lower set, it makes it feel really good because you're moving fast and things are happening quickly. So it's like, it's a game that like, if you can get into it, it just is super satisfying. And that's why I've wanted to play Eternal. I'd probably pick it up on PlayStation, but maybe one of these days.
Yeah, when I first started playing it, I definitely started on the easiest because like I was a Doom veteran at that point. I'd beaten all the games. Doom 2016 was familiar, and I'm like, okay, put it on the third hardest, and I just got absolutely destroyed. I'm like, what's going on? Why is this game so hard? Yeah. And so I had to practice. I had to learn the new combat loop. And one thing I saw when they were making Doom Eternal, one reason they put in the dash is because the creators were like, okay, what are some other really good games? What are we missing? And they wanted to make sections of Doom Eternal more like Mario. And so they wanted you to make really big jumps and to jump through obstacles. And there's definitely some traps and some jumping sections where it's just a platformer. Like you grab on a wall and then you have to jump to the opposite wall and go through or try to avoid like a giant spinning fire pillar. And I'm like, this is literally just Mario. This is first person Mario right now.
There you go.
It's got a little bit of
it just
everything.
Makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. That's I'm totally interested in Doom Eternal as well. It's just another one of those games. It's just like, I don't have enough time in the day. Alex, have you played Doom games?
Is it on Game Pass?
It is on Game Pass. I loved Doom 2016. I think it was one of my favorites from that year. And then I got Doom Eternal. I think it came out early last year on PC. And I started it, and something made me bounce off from that game in a way that I didn't expect. And I don't know if it was because it was just a much harder game than 2016, because 2016 was the perfect Alex difficulty for me, to the point where I when Doom Eternal got harder, I think it just didn't click with me. Or maybe it was the platforming stuff. I don't know. Either way, I think about the fact that it's on Game Pass and that I got that Series X and that it's the new console version. I'm like, maybe I'll go back.
Yeah.
Well, if it's on Game Pass, I might check it out hopefully sooner rather than later.
It's an Xbox-owned property now.
Yep.
That's true. So, Zach, something we haven't talked about too much that we can end at our what we've been playing section is the new Animal Crossing. I mean, yeah, okay, so Kate, you talked about Kate a little bit playing it, but Alex, you haven't returned, have you?
No, I haven't been interested in it, and I didn't get the new Nintendo Switch Online pass either.
That's right. You had to pay for Steins Gate Elite 2, so whatever. So Zach, and have you been playing it, or Samantha? Like, what's?
So Samantha's been playing it. I've been watching her, so I can at least speak on it a little
right.
bit.
Right, she was excited.
I wanted the online expansion pack, and I was like, Samantha, if we get the expansion pack, you get the DLC. So I was able to mosey my way into that one. Pretty easily.
You made it like you were doing her a favor.
Well, that's exactly.
Like, listen, we both win here.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Nintendo was. That's the genius part of that little scheme they did. It's like exactly they knew exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They helped you out there.
So, yes, Nintendo's been helping me for years.
Yep.
I would say free therapy, but I've been paying dearly. So
yeah.
Okay, so. The thing my wife was most excited about, and I don't know, it's hard for me to keep track because some of it was a part of a free update that came out with it.
Like right before it, yeah.
Yeah, just right before. And then some of it's actually a part of the Happy Home Academy, I think it's called, or something like that.
Something like that.
But my wife was most excited about being able to cook food because there's a bunch of kitchen items that you can have, and she was always upset that you couldn't make anything. But now you can actually go out and harvest your fruits and your vegetables. And when you go fishing, if it's a new fish or something like that, your character will say, oh, I just caught a whatever fish. I can make a whatever dish now. And then you can go home. And when you need your strength to like dig up trees or break rocks, if you eat a fruit, you get one food token and you could have a max of 10. So when you eat a food, you get five.
Mm.
And so you can just eat two foods and then you're off. Doing whatever villager things you're gonna go do. They added
that is really cool. I love that new. That's it. So the whole new system of eating. So so what is the eating? What's the Case, point? Do you?
Well, as I said, they also work as just decoration pieces too.
Yeah,
Caitlin's been doing that. Like, yeah, she cooks them up and just like we have
puts
a couple different like restaurant spots. Yep, yeah. So now the tables
this
are
my cheesecake
fully furnished.
I
know. My wife and my sister-in-law, they traded breads the other day. I was like, what is this?
Traded breads?
Like, this is the most boring and most nerdy thing I've ever seen in my
That's
life.
Awesome. That, yeah, very cool. Yeah, has she been getting into the Happy Home stuff?
Oh, yeah, she's an expert. She decorates the house, you know. Like in real life. So for her to just be able to grab some supplies and do a villager's house is totally in her realm. So you get a job, essentially, and you go to this island, and I can't remember the character's name. She's an otter. She's like, okay, so we run a company where we're going to rent out vacation homes to other villagers, like from wherever. And so the villager will be there. They'll come in, or you'll go find them on the beach, and they'll say, oh, I want a house that has this aesthetic. Like, I want everything to be green, or I want a modern vibe, or I want one character was, he said, I want a pretentious palace. And he, and the characters will,
I
like
want
give
Jerry's
you like
house.
A, yeah. They'll give you a palette of items and wallpapers and ceiling decor. And then you just go to town and you just make it as cute as possible. And then you get paid by the company with currency that only works on their island, but you can buy like special items for your house. So it still plays into the actual game a little bit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, did you, so do you have your own, I mean, so, but do you play it at all? Like, is it, or is it just mostly?
I do sometimes just because, yeah, you know, it's kind of fun. I'll normally, you know, I'll go to the store, talk to a couple villagers, and then put something in my house and I'll be done for the day. But Samantha goes a bit harder than I do.
Can you, I can't remember. Can you play two player local on one?
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
That's
but
right.
Like certain features, you know, are sort of like, oh, you're the, not the main character right now kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, Animal Crossing, that it's the game that I love. And like, it, like, you know, five, like even 5 years ago, but like 10 years ago, I would have been like, playing this nonstop. It's such a great,
not enough time in the day.
Yeah, just not enough time in the day type game, and I love it to bits and pieces. And man, they went all out in this one with all these systems and everything. It just took a year and a half
to finish the game.
Yeah,
yeah.
To get to 1.0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Finally, it's gone gold. So.
In today's climate, at least it's done and good, where right. Most of the time it's a year and a half later and it's like passable at best.
I just can't wait until the Switch 2 when that comes out and they release the Animal Crossing Plaza. And then I can't wait till the Switch 3 comes out and then they release the next Animal Crossing.
No, at Switch 3 they'll release Ultimate Animal Crossing New Horizons.
That will be on Splatoon 7.
Director's cut.
How about Amiibo Festival Director's Cut?
Starring Guillermo del Toro.
I can see it happen.
That's Animal amazing. Crossing New Horizons Director's Cut.
That's amazing. All right. Well, it is time to take. That was a big, hearty sesh of what we've been playing.
That was a main course. That was a 5-star course right there.
5-star course that should only be followed by
just like
a 5-star
podcast
musical break. Oh yeah, by the way, give us 5 stars on iTunes.
That's it.
Go rate us.
Only 5.
Yep. Don't give any more than 5, please.
Yep.
That's too greedy.
No,
but
more,
no, let's
no
take,
less.
Let's take a musical break, and then when we come back, we are going to be doing something else.
News.
That's right.
Jerry, that was a wonderful musical selection you had there.
Thank you.
I hope it didn't suck.
Okay.
But you know, it doesn't suck. We got a brand new game coming to the Nintendo Switch Online, baby. That's
wait,
right.
Whoa.
Because we got to play the Jingle Jangle.
News Talk with Casey Gibson.
Oh, that's right. It's the News Talk section. I thought that LX axed this.
No. He axed the eShop, which was supposed to be before this. But
actually,
he made threats not to mention it.
I didn't ax anything. In fact, I'm taking cues from Nintendo of saying there's going to be plenty of segments to come, but only bring 5-year-old segments back every 3 months.
Love it. One at a time?
Yep.
One at a time.
Piecemeal.
Next month we get eShop Roundup. Then we get a game show in January.
When's the Villa Day discount? What's the Villa Day discount?
That's March.
And that, that's yeah, and
the year.
And then you don't hit eShop Roundup again till like May.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah, maybe YouTube we'll bust saloon. It out. It will bust it out for the 300th episode.
Yeah, we should do that. We should name all. We should play all the jingles on our 300th episode. That'd
well,
be great.
I think
what jingles?
I think we did on 250, but that's because we did every freaking segment under the sun.
Yeah, no, that was 200. I think
was that. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. Yep. Yeah. 200. That was a good one.
Anyway, it's the news. What's our first news point here?
Paper Case. Mario is coming to the Nintendo Switch Online N64 platform.
I will be playing this 100%.
Comes out the 10th, which is a day after this bad boy launches. So if you're listening to this, chances are it's already out there.
Unless you're one of our hardcore fans. Yeah,
unless you're Estuardo. in which case,
Josh.
Tomorrow. But yes, it's a really great game. I will say it is a little slower. I've tried to play it a couple years ago. It's a little bit slower paced for sure.
That's what I need after all this Doom Eternal talk.
Yeah, I got to slow down.
I need some Paper Mario.
But I think it'll do better on the go. Like, I think being tethered to the TV was a little rough at times, but I think this will do well with the on the go ski.
Yeah, I played two Paper Mario games last year, Thousand Year Door and Origami King. I loved both of them.
Still haven't beat the best one.
Thousand Year Door is such a good game.
Yeah, one of the best, one might say.
Seriously, such a good game, beginning to end. Excited about this, Zach. Have you played? Are you a Paper Mario fan?
Oh, Thousand Year Door is the only one I played through, just because it's so good.
It is so good.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, this is back when they were RPGs. This is the first one, so I'm excited to visit. I don't know if I'll play it all the way through. I hope I
bet
do.
You don't.
I never have. Okay.
Proud of Nintendo for putting out their first N64 game since like October 26th, and then no Genesis games since that launch either.
Well, they probably realized no one really cares about the Genesis games.
Oh,
Alex, what do we have next?
I kind of want to rub the salt into this for a second.
Oh, okay.
Because
I love rubbing salt.
Rub away.
Stuff. Like steak?
Because it's not whatever. Their service not being great isn't new information. The problem is that they're demanding more money than they were before. And they announced like 10 games or whatever coming after launch. And it's like, okay, this is going to be interesting over the next 2 or 3 months. And then I wonder what other games they can get to. And it's almost 2 months later and there's only one game. And I just want to say I feel very validated,
Alex,
for not getting on this expansion pack.
Me and Casey paid like $8 for all these games, the expansion pack. Super Nintendo, NES, 64. Genesis.
I don't have friends.
They're practically cutting us to check to play these games.
I'm just saying, it's like it's and you pay like how much? For, I mean,
But
we pay less than you pay for the standard thing.
That's true, but for a regular solo consumer, they're paying $50 for this.
Nah. Well, okay, but there's an easy solution. And I think you are in the known of. You could probably find some anyway.
I could just pick up a few more Switches, and then this way you just get more bang for your buck. You know,
you go.
That's a great idea.
You got to think outside of the box sometimes.
Just buy some more and make up your own friends.
I'm gonna get this next news story. Okay. I made sure to say the correct opinion, and now we can move on.
Yes.
All right.
I'm ready.
Atlas, they announced that 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim is coming out next April on Switch. It came out last year, a widely beloved game. It's coming out on April 12th, 2022. VanillaWare developed it. They made Muramasa on Wii and Dragon's Crown, which I think came to Switch. Either way, it was a kind of a cult hit Vita PS3 game.
Oh, cool.
And that ultimately came out on PS4. They make very pretty art. This one is a time travel visual novel-y, which actually is extremely Steins Gate, but this one has yes. strategy gameplay.
No wonder why you wanted to take this one. I saw videos of the gameplay. It looks super cool. I like. I couldn't tell exactly what was going on, but it's piqued my interest. And like you said, I know people really love this game, and Atlas usually, you know, they usually publish pretty darn good games. So,
mm-hmm.
It's definitely on my radar. I don't know if I'll play it, but you know what? April 2022. Who knows what the schedule looked like?
Exactly.
Might be ripe for
maybe the world will just stop releasing video games, and maybe all the whole backlog that we have will just disappear.
Doubt it.
Yep. Doubt it. Perry, what's this next one?
All right, number three, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon is digging into the eShop December 13th. That's closer than April 12th, by the way.
Ooh, it is.
This news came out like 2 weeks ago. December I just 13th, thought it was worth talking about.
2023. No, it's this year. This is developed by Yacht Club and Vine. I don't know what else they've done, but this is that Wario Woods style Shovel Knight puzzle game. And this game does look really cool. I actually was like, when I saw this release, I was like, yep, I want that. I want that game because it's like looks like a fun game you can kind of get into, sink your teeth into, but also play like little bits and time. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. $19.99 has a daily challenge mode, which is cool. Story and two-player competitive versus mode and all that jazz. I'm excited for this. I hope they send us a code.
Yeah,
you might be able to swing it.
Yeah,
although I know a guy who knows a guy who says you'll never get a code.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, Zach, are you in our document right now?
I see him.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm seeing.
Well, you should. I think this final bit of news is perfect for you.
Added during the recording. Yeah.
We know you're a big Smash man, so we figured you're probably a pretty in tune with this as well.
Garfield joins Nickelodeon All Star Brawl. Garfield, like
the big cat. Yep.
Okay, making sure that there's not
like
another
the Garfield. Other Garfield.
See, I might need to actually look at this game.
Simon Garfield, a famous musician. not Simon and Garfunkel. It's one musician called Simon Garfield.
Yep, they've fused.
Simon
Garfield. It's about time. Yes. I've been saying it for years. I need more Garfield in my Nickelodeon games, and I'm finally glad that they listened. To
and
their
it's
fan
free,
base.
And it's later this month.
Well, did you see that Chris Pratt is actually the voice for Garfield in the new animated feature? So it all connects back to Mario.
Oh wow!
See? I hate Mondays.
That's amazing. All right. Well, good for Garfield. And you know, we have a tradition on the show. Whenever we talk about Garfield, we always follow that with. Poll time.
Let's see the poll results time. Thought you were going to say some lasagna.
Ooh, I love lasagna.
I don't.
Get out of here.
It's not my favorite.
Well, it's not my that's not what I didn't say
I don't,
that.
I would like there would probably be a lot more things I would pick over eating lasagna.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't love it.
Well, I'm saying I don't love it.
Do you love anything?
You.
I stand corrected. I love you too.
Because he knows I don't lie about that.
No, you don't lie about that.
Nope. That and boss burritos.
Mm.
They go hand in hand.
They sure do. Literally. Anyway, Alex Balix.
Yeah.
Let's see that poll, baby.
Balixander.
Triple B. The most beautiful boy in Boston.
Yeah.
Al.
I like that one. We should just start calling him Al from now on.
Weird Al.
Nope.
How about Weird
Big
Al?
Al. Big
weird Al.
Al. Bow.
Bow. I'm like a diner waitress. What you having, hun?
Yeah. So Zach
smokes a pack and a half a day.
Hey, what am I doing? You Zach, said my name and then you said Zach's.
Well, hold on, Zach. Have you heard of this wonderful game called Balan Wonderworld?
No.
Have you heard the good news about Balan Wonderworld?
The good news it's often on sale.
Don't
okay,
well, no.
That is good news.
No, just live
and
with
that's
this.
That's actually
now.
Bad news because it makes it more enticing, and yeah. You don't want it. You don't want to be enticed at all.
Yeah,
it's a trap.
I'm looking forward to our game of the year segment where we can just talk about Balan Wonderworld.
It's gonna be great. Okay, yeah, it's gonna be great.
Okay, I did a quick Google here. And I see, I remember, it's all coming back.
Oh,
I would say the only redeeming feature it has is that Square Enix publishes it. So you think there might be a glimmer of quality within there, but it's not.
This is very perfect for what we're going to talk about. Because speaking of Balan Wonderworld, Balix, what's our next poll?
All right. This week's one was one I wanted to do for a while. It's asking, what do you want the next 3D Mario to be? Or what do you want instead of a 3D Mario? And I gave four choices. Three of them are Mario related. One of them is not Mario related. And
it's Mario adjacent.
Mario adjacent, part of the same grander series, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can have one of the following as or instead of the next 3D Mario game. What do you choose? Super Mario Odyssey 2, Super Mario Galaxy 3, a new type of 3D Mario, or a new 3D Donkey Kong game like was being rumored a little while back. And we
should
we
all
had
go
100...
through and oh sorry.
Say what we'd say and then we'll read the results.
Oh, okay. We want to do what we say first.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. I said a new 3D Donkey Kong game. I think that'd be really cool.
I'd like to preface and say I would love any of these things. I just want to say that. But I also picked a new 3D Donkey Kong game.
Yeah.
Because that'd be sick. Because I think we would never get Donkey Kong 64, anything like that. Like, if we had, like, EAD working on 3D Donkey Kong, oh my goodness, it'd be the best thing ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the biggest error of the poll is there is no... whatchamacallit, Sunshine 2 here. But I guess, debating on what we got here, it's funny. I went down, I was like, Odyssey 2. Like, yeah, it'd be cool, I guess. I was like, oh, new type of Mario game, easy. And then I saw the DK on the bottom and after I'd already voted for the new 3D Mario game. So if I could redo it, I'd probably do the new 3D Donkey Kong.
He votes just before he looks at all the options.
It's like 15 words altogether.
I was like, sold. I already know. And then I was like, oh, dang it. but honestly, I mean, if we're going strictly Mario, like I would want a new type, no doubt. But yeah, we haven't had a new 3D Donkey Kong game in forever, so I'd love to just see, especially like the Mario team working on that,
Baby. Yeah. Zach?
I just want new ideas.
New 3D Mario. Oh, not Mario, Donkey Kong. Because that sounds like a whole new thing.
It does.
Just as bad as 64.
64-2.
It's like literally like it's like identical almost. Yeah, it's like Balan Donkey Kong World. Like, no, what happened?
Dude, it would have been amazing.
By Balan Company.
Yeah. Balan Company.
All right. So we had 170 votes, which was a pretty good turnout. And the results were people chose Super Mario Odyssey 2 first at 38.8%, Super Mario Galaxy 3 at 20%, a new 3D Donkey Kong game at 22.9%. And a new type of 3D Mario at 18.2%.
There you go. Very close. Very close.
Very close.
Except for Odyssey, so it took the cake and ran away.
Odyssey
a little bit.
Doubled.
But the rest was right there.
Yep. Yeah. Mario Galaxy 3 can stuff it, as far as I'm concerned.
Ooh, you heard it here first. Mario Galaxy. Alex hates space.
I want no space travel. I just want to live in Death Stranding.
Yep.
All right. Well,
that's poll time.
That's going to do it for the Shizzo.
I'd
like to thank our special guest, Zach Cote, for coming on.
Poke!
Zach Cote, man.
Thanks, Zach.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, awesome to have you on. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, audition works, and I can replace one of you here shortly.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
It'd be funny if you replaced Perry.
Awesome. Perry thought it was like a big thing. Perry thought he was you know, give him the test run to get rid of one of us. But really, we'd already talked to Zach, and we're just double crossing like Perry. Before, yeah, like
once, once Zach heard about coming on, he messaged you guys. Yeah, like, hey guys, I have this plan.
He went through the back channels. He's
in
like,
case
look,
he's like, finally.
He's like, I've been waiting for someone to do this forever.
Yeah, we're gonna say, Perry, can you ask Zach if he wants to be on the show? And then we ask Zach to fire you.
Yeah.
And then,
well, yeah, because then he could do it in person. He'll bring you some rings and things, and you'll get excited, and he'll be like, this is the last one, man. Last rings and rings you'll ever eat during the podcast.
And then he pours a whole bottle of red wine all over me and all over my food.
He goes, now you're blue cheese.
He throws the bottle at my head.
Now you're blue cheese.
It's cooked into the food, so it doesn't count as drinking it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This segment, this ending segment is just going away from us. But anyway, Zach, it was really fun. We'll have you on soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes. And you can find Talk Nintendo on Twitter. Where can they find us, Case?
That's Talk Nintendo Pod. Talk Nintendo.
P.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. Did you say D?
I said P.
It sounded like you said D. I was like, that's wrong.
I said P, but I also say words wrong, so.
Gotcha. Okay. So you can find us where? At Talk Nintendo what?
P.
Oh.
D. Okay.
I like Perry's. Like, he couldn't believe I
stumbled.
Said P.
Oh?
Yep. And you can find NWR over on patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/...
N.
W?
R.
R?
And you should definitely go rate us over on iTunes. 5 stars. And you can write in the box here. Just say, this podcast is fantastic. Period.
It's the best.
Yeah.
The best.
You can go do that. That helps us out. It's really nice. And then our Discord. Join our Discord. The link's in the podcast description. We have lots of fun there, lots of delicious food, lots of delicious conversation about the podcast. And you can hear Josh's really funny hot takes off of everything, really.
Also, we seem to find a good video every like week or two that just sounds exactly like him in completely different contexts.
Yep.
And he gets he gets his panties in a bunch. It's pretty funny.
Anyway,
yep, he wears panties.
Love you, Josh. Anyway, we'll see you next week on episode 275.
Yep, it's
we're getting there.
It's a milestone episode.
Milestone. Yep.
They all are.
Yep. Toodles.
Toodles. Bye.
Bye, Zach. Zach, have you heard of this wonderful game called Balan Wonderworld?
No.
And adding it comes from a dog's mouth to the potential episode titles.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't love it.
Well, I'm saying I don't love it.
Do you love anything?
You.
I stand corrected.
I made sure to say the correct opinion, and now we can move on.